All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man BK's at Brad Keltner in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. It is a Motown-esque, Motown-ish Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. You also can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. All you got to do is head on over to hornfm.com, and you can tap into the Twitch stream there. There should be a link there. Then you can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. All right, good news for Texas Longhorn football fans out there. The wide receiver commit, Xavier Worthy, he committed to the Longhorns, remember, I believe, during the spring game, if I'm not mistaken, right? Was that the spring game?
Good call.
I think it was around that time,
during
I remember.
During the game.
It was also, what did he see that made him want to commit during that game?
He was watching the game.
Oh. He watched.
He was like, what, Josh Boyd dropped that pass? Damn. Oh, I got that spot.
I'm in.
No, okay. I legitimately think his announcement tweet went out right after Marcus Washington dropped that pass in the first quarter.
Wow.
A little slant route from
You're not kidding Carter. Around.
No,
that's
I'm
true.
Not kidding.
No, there were like, wow. There were like four or five like, drops. Yeah,
yeah, there were a lot of people who noticed that on Twitter. Who knows if that had anything to do with the timing of the tweet, but I did get a little kick out of that.
I think it makes sense to me. Well, he did commit then officially, but remember, he received his acceptance into the University of Texas on Monday early this week. But he still hadn't gotten released from his national letter of intent.
And I wouldn't
from Michigan.
I wouldn't worried about him getting in. A lot of times you are. Texas is a really good school, but Texas and Michigan are pretty comparable. Really good state schools.
Yeah,
I was worried about Harbaugh.
Yeah, being an a-hole, basically.
Being Harbaugh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Harbaugh decided to take the high road, I guess, and release the young man, Xavier Worthy, out of his national letter of intent. Remember, he actually signed with the Michigan Wolverines last December. We let him out of his national letter of intent, so now he is officially official. He is a Longhorn gentleman, and he brings a lot of speed to the Longhorns. He's a West Coast Cali kid, so from Fresno Central in California. And he reportedly, as a sophomore, ran a 10.5 500 meters as a sophomore. Mm. And, of course, we all assume that he's probably a lot faster than that now, growing into his grown man body. He actually is a track athlete, ran 100 meters, 200 meters, and had a long jump that was really impressive, too. But he's been a standout performer and a very impressive one as a football player. He recorded 54 receptions for 992 yards and 16 touchdowns in 2019. Didn't play last year because of COVID protocols in California.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird scouting some of these California guys. There's been talk, even with Malik Murphy. Do you try and come to Texas or come to a state where you can continue to play? You know,
yeah.
And I don't know. That'd be a tough situation to be in as a parent.
Yeah.
And for all you parents out there, this last year has been a tough situation, no matter what. What you're dealing with your kids. So God bless y'all. But the comp, BK, DeSean Jackson. I mean, look, this guy, look at the 24/7 composite rankings. He's a number eight wide receiver and the number four overall prospect in California. This is a hell of a get.
It's a hell of a get. And you look at the other three wide receivers Texas has in its class of 2021. Jaden Alexis is the highest ranked recruit out of those three.
Yeah.
The 56th ranked receiver in the class of 2021.
Okay.
So Xavier Worthy, expectations are high. Track speed, freak athleticism, slender frame. People make the DeSean Jackson comparison. People will make the Devontae Smith comparison in terms of just what they look like. But I'm excited. This is a big-time get for Steve Sarkisian, and it tells me a couple of things, guys. I expect recruiting to pick up under Sark, but I think quarterback and wide receiver, you're going to see the biggest change in terms of quality of recruits coming to Texas versus the Tom Herman era. Think about some of the big name quarterbacks and receivers that Tom Herman missed at UT. One of them from Lake Travis, Garrett Wilson, that one stands out the most. I mean, if Sark can get this offense looking anything close to what Alabama's offense was looking like the last couple of years, guys are going to want to play here. Quarterbacks and wide receivers are going to want to play here. If you get Arch Manning to commit as a quarterback, or if you're just in the mix for some of the top quarterbacks in the country, you're going to be able to get wide receivers to commit to Texas. So that's big. And also, the West Coast pipeline. We know Sark has that. Sark grew up there. He started his coaching career there. He's got a bunch of ties to the state of California.
That's a pipeline I like to hack.
And, yeah. Yeah, well done there. Colonial pipeline.
I like that.
Not too talking about gas prices right now. But, yeah, West Coast kids. I mean, we've seen it with Malik Murphy. Y'all just brought him up. California kid coming to Texas. And, look, Texas has had success recruiting the West Coast over the last couple of years. Bijan Robinson from Arizona, Jake Smith from Arizona. You've got some dudes on this roster from the left coast. Sark's going to continue that and, I think, evolve that even more. And you get a prime example of both of those things with Xavier Worthy. West Coast kid, wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sark's going to clean house with both of those areas.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm excited about that. Also, we've just seen things become so national. Now, I think, Rod, did you mention that you had read something where you were kind of thinking that that may change a little bit over the next couple years? Is that more pandemic related?
Yeah, because during the pandemic, there wasn't as much traveling, so a lot of guys, a lot of the recruits were staying.
That's it.
Closer, but
right.
Obviously as things open back up, that could change. Also, I think name, image, and likeness is going to play a bigger role in guys maybe wanting to stay a little bit more regionally close to where they're well known, where they have name recognition as opposed to going to and building up that you know that cred already.
And making sure the state actually has that. 15 states now, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's coming.
It continues to roll.
It's coming.
I think this is a really good get, and I think BK brings up a good point that you just want to continue that pipeline. He's got a lot of West Coast connections, and not only Washington, I mean, really up that whole coast, and certainly California. So the other good thing is, we've talked about it with Arizona, guys, there's a vacuum in the state of California right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
USC's down, UCLA's down.
Yeah. Stanford's even not as good as they were.
Yeah, Stanford will always steal somebody from Texas.
Yeah, smart kids. We don't want them.
Seemingly happens every single year.
You want to read?
They're not what they were in the Jim Harbaugh era. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, feels like there are. We see it every year, not just with Texas, but California kids are going all over the country to play football. USC, man, it's better for college football when they're good. Like, I just think it's better when all the blue bloods are good, but it's better for Texas and those programs across the country when USC is down, because you've got a chance to get players that in the Pete Carroll days you would have never had access to.
Yeah.
Because those guys are staying home.
The older I get, I just stop saying that. I think you're exactly right, by the way. It is better when USC and Texas and – but one of those schools that I said growing up, because they weren't that good for first 20 years of my life, was Alabama. And I'm like, you know, college football is better with Alabama. Well,
not anymore.
They don't need to be this good.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't mean this. Yeah. I take that back.
Yeah, they could be good. They don't need to be like the best dynasty ever.
I didn't want that.
No, we don't say that. Like, we only want Texas to be the best dynasty ever. But like Tennessee, Nebraska, USC, they could just be good. They could just be relevant. Michigan, throw them in the mix too. They don't need to be winning like four national championships every 6 years.
No.
So what type of role do you guys expect Xavier Worthy to have this year? Katie, I mean, do you expect Xavier Worthy to have any type of significant-ish role as a true freshman?
I do, and so let's assume everyone stays healthy, okay?
Okay.
Let's assume that O'Meary, Whittington, and Smith stay healthy and live up to the talent we've seen. So they're going to be at least good football players. And I think Whittington and O'Meary could be really special, and they can use Jake Smith, who does some different things. But those guys stay healthy. I think it'll be a limited role, but I really think you're going to see Sark use – think of like a freshman 20% of the usage of what he did with Devontae Smith. So a lot of that in the backfield, in motion, trying to hide him, and really just, Rod, trying to put him in space – where he can get the football, and he did such a brilliant job with Devontae Smith, also helping out a true freshman who's 18 and may weigh 160 pounds.
Yeah, was he 6'1", 160? He's almost probably exactly with the frame of kind of a Devontae Smith is right
or
now.
DeSean Jackson.
Or DeSean Jackson. But those guys, you know, it's all about their skill set and how you can weaponize their skill set. That's what Sark's really good at. And we saw last year when they moved around Joshua Moore in an Oklahoma game. If you want to go watch a game where you see Joshua Moore probably being utilized most effectively, it'd be in that Oklahoma game where they basically put him in. They'd go empty and they'd put him inside as that number three receiver or that number two receiver, give him an easier release, sometimes put him in motion, and that helped him out get a free release when they would often leave him outside for him to fend for himself against a defensive back, specifically playing press man coverage. He would struggle. Now, Devontae Smith, I watched film on Devontae Smith, and I watched Derek Stingley try to bump and run him, and he just make Derek Stingley whiff at nothing. Mm-hmm. All right, and Derek Stingley might be the best damn corner in the country.
Yeah.
So he's a specific kind of freak. He's an outlier. Most of the time, guy's 165 pounds. He's not going to be able to survive in the ecosystem that is the NFL. But we've seen some guys do it. Chad Johnson, Isaac Bruce admitted that he was one of those guys that did it. DeSean Jackson, you guys mm-hmm. have talked about. So some guys are really unique in that ability. They're just force multipliers. And I think Devontae Smith is one of those guys. Now, we are making the comparison that Xavier Worthy has that type of frame, just like a Joshua Moore. In my opinion, Joshua Moore is the guy that's got to worry the most here, because if you look at Jordan Whittington, he offers hybridism in his skill set and playing the backfield. You're playing the slot, move him around. Jake Smith, I like him as a route runner, I think, in terms of separation and how crisp he is as a route runner. He might be your most advanced route runner right now. But if Jordan Whittington gets a little bit more time from what I saw in the spring game, he can separate too. Terrell Mears is just a physical freak. You want that guy.
Huge catch rate.
I'm sure Sark is salivating over the many ways he could use Terrell Mears. And if you look at it, Joshua Moore, the one thing that sets him apart, his X-Men ability, is his speed. That's the one thing that sets him apart. And that's good for him because Sark love speed. Everybody loves speed. It's like saying I love a nice butt and a nice pair of boobs. Everybody
loves
it. A big fan. But he really does.
I like rich, hot women.
Exactly. Right. But he covets it because he loves those, what he calls those movement routes. Right. Run to daylight is his philosophy. He hates stop routes. So in that case, he likes Josh Moore. But if Xavier Worthy can bring him something similar to what Joshua Moore brings, which is that speed element, I can see them deciding to side with the youth and side with the youngster over Joshua Moore, just because he's my recruit. He's one of the guys I recruited, and it's a higher upside for a younger guy.
Can I stir the Kool-Aid for a second, gentlemen?
Please. Put some sugar in there.
I'm going burn orange Kool-Aid here. Devontae Smith, out of high school, 6'1", 160. Xavier Worthy, out of high school, 6'1", 160.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith, the 9th-ranked receiver in the class of 2017. Xavier Worthy, the 8th-ranked receiver in the class of 2021. And you talk about the type of role that Xavier Worthy might have as a true freshman at Texas. The stats for Devontae Smith as a freshman at Alabama, not that great. 8 catches, 160 yards, 3 touchdowns. Yeah, the biggest catch of the season for Alabama as a true freshman.
He did, Tua.
The national championship-winning touchdown in overtime against Georgia.
Good call there, BK.
I'm getting carried away here, guys.
No. I mean, but just that memory. And also showing that I think both those guys may have been penalized a spot or two because of their frame.
Mm-hmm. And that's at Alabama, too. Like, the receiving talent was obviously better at Alabama than what we have at Texas right now. And
was Ridley on that team?
Yes, he was. And Devontae Smith was able to crack the rotation as the season progressed. He got more playing time as the season progressed, and he was on the field for the most important play of the game. So maybe that can be Xavier Worthy. Now, it was Nick Saban's program at Alabama, that we know. But, man, Sark, just the work that he's done with receivers, not just at Alabama, but over the years, it gives you reason to believe that he can really get the most out of any of these receivers, both the guys who have been here on campus that might not have maximized their potential to this point and guys coming in for the first time. Just feels like we're waiting to see if that development's going to show up all over the roster. That's been what's plaguing mm-hmm. Texas more than anything else. But, man, it just feels like wide receiver is one of those positions that there's no doubt the play is going to be a lot better there.
8 catches, 3 touchdowns. That's a pretty good batting average there.
Not too shabby.
If you're going to come home with something.
Yeah. So, Xavier Worthy, it's official. Coming to Texas. He committed back on April 24th. He got accepted to UT earlier this week. And he got his release from his NLI from Michigan. I believe that was the last night after we got off the air.
If he watches so much football, he watched the spring game, and that made him want to commit to Texas because he saw the ineptitude of the Texas wide receivers, why the hell did he commit to Michigan? Because does he watch that offense?
That's a good question.
Why the hell would you ever commit to Michigan? You know what I mean? If you're that much about ball, you're like, no, I watched that. I watched those guys, man. I'll be starting there. I'll be getting reps there in, a couple of months because, their wide receivers are just subpar. Man, maybe he felt like that in Michigan, but why would you want to play in that offense? That offense is atrocious.
It is. Remember, they had sold people that Gattis was going to come in, and they were really going to spread that thing out and go to a pro spread.
Is it Gattis or Gaddis?
I think it's Gaddis.
Okay. Wasn't sure if there was an apostrophe in his name. We had a little pizza delivery going on up there.
No, it's not 4, 5, 9, 22. 22. 22. 22. I don't know Josh's phone number. And honestly, I really don't, because I haven't been that impressed, getting back to Rod's point about what he's done. But remember, Rod, that was a selling point,
that
Harbaugh made his bones with jumbo packages and three tight ends and really just hammering your ass with ISO and then play action off of it. And that just wasn't working. And funny enough, the Big Ten shows you how college football has changed. So he brings Gattis in, but there still just hasn't been this. It hasn't worked yet. And so that was the selling point, but I'm glad he's here.
Yes, me too. And I think Xavier Worthy was kind of under the table, committed to Texas before the spring game, but that doesn't answer the question of, well, if you've been watching college football the last few years, why the hell would you commit to Michigan as a wide receiver?
He might have liked Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh's likable for recruits.
I like, you know,
he might have liked him.
The helmets, fight song.
Yeah.
Big brand, good school.
But I'm just saying, like, I would watch that offense as a receiver, and I would be mortified.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm ever going to play in that offense.
Yeah, right. They had, like, two quarterbacks enter the portal this offseason.
Yeah.
They did get some five-star from Chicago. They also have Alan Bowman.
Yeah.
Transferring in from Texas Tech. Maybe he'll solve the
I didn't realize that.
Interesting. But, the Harbaugh experiment has not worked out there. Michigan has done a better job of developing NFL talent than Texas has.
No, they definitely have.
Who hasn't?
I know. But, like, we compare ourselves to Michigan all the time
right.
in terms of we're just down. Like, blue bloods who are down.
Yeah.
And they're still having first-round picks more often than not. And we couldn't get one to save our lives.
Yeah, Texas feels more USC-esque and not Michigan-esque. Because Michigan's still been winning those 8-9 games around there and putting people in the league.
That's true.
And Texas not so much doing that. Texas basketball, guys, real quick hitter. I don't need to say quick twice. You can put a red squiggly line under the second quick. My
quick hitter. What are we going out to the lake?
No.
That's a one hitter.
A one hitter.
Yeah.
you can still call it a quick hitter.
It's true.
It is a quick hitter.
Very quick.
Yeah.
Those things are a pain in the ass.
They are so annoying.
It's not worth it.
Looks like a cigarette.
Well, it's worth it, but still annoying.
Yeah, let's get this straight. It's definitely annoying, but it is worth it.
I'd rather risk getting caught by smoking out of something that doesn't look like a lung dart than having to reload every single hit.
That's the problem.
That's the bait of the ass.
First world problems, man.
Yeah.
First world problems.
Absolutely. Texas basketball, guys, not a huge shock, but there were times over the last month or two where we thought this guy was coming back to Texas, but over the last few weeks it felt like the writing has been on the wall. Greg Brown III announcing that he is foregoing his remaining college eligibility and putting his name in the NBA draft. He also will hire an agent, so he is done. His time at Texas is done. KD, relatively disappointing.
Yeah.
Texas campaign for Greg Brown. I know the Longhorns won the Big 12 tournament for the first time in school history, and they were a 3 seed, and they were a relevant team for most of the season. But as Texas seemingly got better as the year progressed, Greg Brown seemingly got worse.
He got worse. I'm sorry this is the 1 year he had here. I wish it would have been with a better coaching staff, to be honest, because it also felt like the way they were utilizing him felt off almost all year long. And I think it meant a lot to him, especially with his dad and, you know, the fact that he would have grown up loving UT or at least liking UT, that he just got, you get that 1 year, and emotionally you could tell how frustrated he was, right? I mean,
yep.
So some of the blowups,
yep.
And I defended him on the air even saying, look, this kid really cares, and he's just that. He's still a kid. He's 18.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. I think for him, I still think ultimately, if everything works out for him, right, he turns out to be a good player, develops in the D-League, and ends up becoming an NBA player. Not saying it's going to be a star or anything like that. Just ends up becoming a professional NBA player. I think he's still going to look back, and he is going to really be proud of himself for choosing to go to Texas for that 1 year.
Instead of going to Europe or...
Yeah, because I think he'll... Exactly, right? Because of the ties...
That was a talk.
Yeah, because going to the D-League, right?
Yeah.
Because the ties his family has to it. And I think he'll end up coming back to school and getting his degree, like a lot of these guys do. And I think ultimately he's going to feel pride about that degree being from the University of Texas.
Good point.
So I think he'll look back ultimately when it's all said and done and be like, I'm glad I had that 1 year at Texas. Ultimately, it sucked for me as a basketball player. My draft stock dropped. But now that I'm making money, signed my big contract, I'm going back to school, and I wanted to be a Longhorn. Like, that was part of me going to Texas was I wanted to be a Longhorn. My dad was a Longhorn. I wanted to continue that legacy to a certain extent, and you did. It just didn't turn out the way you thought. Join the club.
Yeah, right. No.
Join the club. Right?
Join the club for almost everyone.
For almost everybody right. in this world. Oh, it didn't work out the way you thought. Okay, join the club. All right, move on.
Make the most of it.
There you go.
It didn't work out, and he's going to the NBA.
Yeah, that's a good not workout.
It didn't work out, and I got cut from the eighth grade basketball team.
Yeah, exactly. So, you got screwed on that, though. Yeah. I've seen that team.
I was cut for being too short, believe it or not.
Are you serious?
Very late bloomer.
When did you have that spurt?
Like college.
Okay.
Very late high school and first couple of years of college.
How tall were you when you came to college?
5'8"? 8-ish.
What?
Yeah.
Were you really?
Yeah. And then I was like, probably sophomore year of high school, I was like 5'5", 5'6".
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. You know what? You're going to start packing on some weight here.
It'll happen.
When? You got to become. You got to
probably
become
in his 30s. He's going to be skinny fat. He's going to be skinny fat.
You need to get in a relationship.
No.
Yeah.
Because that is the kind of stress that will add pounds. Mm-hmm. It'll add little love handles.
Lose hair,
you'll
gray
lose your six pack,
wrinkles,
gray hair. That
you'll
is
lose
what
your
is.
Will
what do you think
a
dad,
live,
dad
you'll
bod?
Lose your soul.
Yes, that's what you think a dad bod comes from. It comes from stress. You're so damn stressed. You can't worry about keeping up your body.
That was the worst sell for a relationship ever.
You want to put on some weight? I'm just telling you how to do it.
fine. I don't want all the other stuff.
You
want to
put
mentioned?
On some weight and look like crap? Yeah. Get in a relationship. Find your soulmate.
Oh, boy. I hope your woman is listening right now.
I love you, baby.
I hope she's never listening.
Yeah.
You never marry the hottest girl. In fact, usually you marry just kind of a dog who takes care of you.
It's not true.
Really?
Not true.
That's
not what I said. See,
way.
Baby, don't listen. That's not what I said.
Jeez. All right. It's the triple option with RBKD. When we come back, it'll be time for the BK Lounge. The pandemic. It sucks, but it's given us some funnies. Zoom Court gave us a funny earlier this week. We'll tell you about it next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
All the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby. If you give it to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. May 13th, 20 and 21 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and...
He's doing something.
Rod Babers.
He's taking a dump.
Oof.
Give me the sounder.
No.
Give me the sounder. Give me the sounder. There we go. Appreciate it. No, he's not. He's recording something.
Nice. I'm BK, Brad Kellner. And this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. I'm not sure they want to sponsor that sound effect.
Actually, well.
With Tom, you never know. You never know. Call him up, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. All right, guys. I don't know if y'all saw this video of a dude who shows up in a Michigan judge's Zoom courtroom. So a lot of things have changed over the last, 14 months since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And Zoom has obviously taken off. We've got Zoom meetings at work, Zoom calls with clients, Zoom calls with friends, Zoom happy hours. We've got Zoom court as well. And Michigan's still pretty closed off compared to a lot of states, definitely compared to this state. So they've got Zoom court still going on up there. So
Zoom meetings I've been cool with. If you, as long as you're still going to have the meeting. So you're going to have the meeting no matter what. Then if we continue that, then I'd rather do it at home.
Yeah, I feel like our place has had more meetings since Zoom meetings became a thing.
That would be accurate.
I'm not as cool with that.
No, I'm not either.
My mic's off, right? Cool. No. All right. Yeah, we're just talking off the air.
Don't
awesome.
Call that.
Love that. This guy shows up in a Michigan judge's Zoom courtroom. And there were all of these people in there that were waiting on the Zoom screen. They were waiting to speak to the judge because he had these hearings. And at one point, the judge says to the people that were populating his Zoom meeting screen, well, we'll go ahead and bring this fool in. And he admitted this person into the Zoom meeting. There's like 10 faces on the Zoom call. And you see this new guy's picture. He looks like a pretty regular guy, maybe around 30 years old. And the judge says to him, good morning, sir. And the judge says... It's my last day of the week.
Dude, I can feel it.
25 minutes left.
And then I'm off all next week. It's like we are.
We mailed it in. And the judge says to him, good morning, sir. What's your name? And the guy says, me. And the judge says, yes. The guy says, Nathaniel Saxon, sir. And the judge says, oh, really? Your name's not. And I need to clean this up.
How are you going
to
say this?
BF-er 3000?
There you go. Good job.
Because that is what he left his Zoom name as before he joined the judge's hearing. And it wasn't just the letters B and F.
No, it's...
If you catch my drift.
Yeah.
So he's there on screen.
Two T's.
Uh-huh. And you know how Zoom puts your name under your face on their calls? He's there on screen, and right under him it says BF-er 3000.
Now, were there 2,999 other... Is this like BF-ers out there?
Why is that the number we always go to?
Right.
Why is it always 3,000?
I don't know.
We've skipped 1 through 2999, and 3,000 is always the technological number we go to for stuff like that. And we identify ourselves or identify a piece of technology.
You're right.
It is 3,000 every single time. So the judge asked him that, and the guy looks startled and horrified, and he says to the judge, I don't believe I typed anything like that in. And the judge says, well, that's what it says there. And then Saxon gets real apologetic and tries to explain. He says, Your Honor, I think
the judge was pissed, too.
The judge was very ticked off. He says, Your Honor, I think it was whenever I set up my Zoom account or whatever, but Blanker is my iPhone pairing name for my Bluetooth speaker. And I'm very embarrassed and very, very sorry.
Why would he put that in his head?
And the judge says, well, you should be. So that happened. And then 20 minutes later, Saxon had to plead guilty to the charges he was facing in Zoom court, which was possession of drug paraphernalia. During a traffic stop, they found a syringe with methamphetamine residue in his truck.
Okay.
Yeah. We've got a little bit
of
audio.
All the story makes a little sense now.
Yeah, it does. You start to connect the dots and check the boxes a little bit. We've got a little bit of audio from this altercation on Zoom. I had to clean this one up a little bit, but here's how part of this sounded.
Then we'll bring this fool in. Good morning, sir. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yes.
Nathaniel Saxon, sir.
Your name's not but 3000, you yo-ho. Logging into my court with that as your screen name.
Why
would that in a little bit? What kind of idiot logs into court like that? What's your name again?
Nathaniel Saxon, sir, but I don't believe that I typed anything like that in.
Well, that's what it says.
Why? I apologize.
That in a bit.
That should not
yeah,
be.
You should. I'll put you in the waiting room. You can sit and limbo for a while and think about what you call yourself online.
How about that? So the judge literally kicked him out of the Zoom call and then brought him back, and that's when Saxon explained that the iPhone pairing name with his Bluetooth speaker was BF-er 3000.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that guy was doomed. I mean, even if there was no evidence against that guy having drugs in his car, he was toast.
Done.
You can't show up to Zoom court. You can't show up to Zoom anything with that as your screen name.
So the meth was the least of his worries at that point.
I think so. But this guy has become a bit of a minor celebrity. I mean, just joining the courtroom with that handle, BF-er 3000. That's pretty funny. That's also my username on a lot of online profiles.
Well, at least we know that now.
Yeah, about that. So there's one BK Lounge
That's
story.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable. How about this one? We talked about Michael Irvin a little bit earlier. We talked about some of the best revenge games on the NFL schedule in 2021. I think without question the best revenge game this year is Brady versus Belichick. Tom Brady in Tampa Bay going up to Foxborough to take on New England. Week 4, Sunday Night Football. I think it's going to be the most watched regular season NFL game of all time. I really do.
I can see that.
Just so much on the line. Obviously, the breakup between Bill and Tom, Tampa Bay, the defending Super Bowl champs. I don't need to explain it. Everybody knows this game is going to be watched. Dude, Michael Irvin lost his mind on the NFL Network talking about this game last night.
So
they had like a 3-hour special and on NFL Network just about the schedule release, talking about every team and the big games and the matchups and this and that. And they were, of course, talking about New England versus Tampa Bay. And here are a couple of clips. I kind of mashed these together. Just Michael Irvin going absolutely bonkers. I mean, you would think mid-90s White House bonkers with what Michael Irvin was talking about.
Scissors, barber chair bonkers.
Maybe some of that, too. Here is the playmaker.
Jordan had issues with the GM. He never really faced the GM on the court. You know what I mean? LeBron and Dan Gilbert, who wrote the letter, he had issues with Dan Gilbert. He never faced them on the court. Tom Brady had problems with Bill Belichick. We gonna see each other on the field. We've never seen anything like this before. It should be probably the most watched game we've ever had in the history of this game. I can't wait to watch it. Brady, like you said, he has all his talent. Is he going to light up the Pats defense?
Hold on a
second. That defense is run by Belichick. That's a direct hit on Belichick. If Belichick shut down Tom Brady, that's a direct hit on Tom Brady. You get to face each other. All of that anger that we didn't hear about, that y'all say didn't exist, that obviously existed because you're no longer together, we get to see it right now. It's going to be incredible.
So, dude, God. I feel like he's going to pop a blood vessel every time he talks.
I know, and I love the energy, but for someone that's been documented, that's done as much cocaine as Michael Irvin has, it makes you wonder where they're at.
It's still in his system.
Yeah.
I don't care if
he
hasn't.
And he may not have did
too right. I don't care if he hasn't done a line in two decades. He did enough in the 90s to where he's still feeling the after effects in 2021, dude. I mean, that's ridiculous. I love Michael Irvin. I think he's a great analyst, and I love the enthusiasm and emotion that he brings to the table on NFL Network. But my God, dude, at some point he's going to pop a blood vessel.
Yeah.
Like at some point his head might explode.
He's going to have a heart attack.
Or he's going to have a heart attack. Heaven forbid that that happens.
But it is great passion, though.
Yeah.
And he made some good points.
I did find that pretty hilarious. Yeah. I mean, it's a revenge game unlike any we've seen in sports history.
Yep.
It's going to be spectacular. So there you go, the BK Lounge, kind of a mismatch of audio, a funny from Zoom Court, and some funnies from Michael Irvin talking about the NFL schedule.
So moral of this BK's Lounge, or at least the story that we all should take from it, is if you do have some type of username with your Bluetooth, be careful, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't go with BF or 3000.
No, I'd go with... I'm going to go 2,000.
Okay, that would make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were there first.
Yeah, I like that.
2,000th. Guess not first. Unreal. All right, when we return, we will wrap up the show and tell you what's on tap. What's next?
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this
down? Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really good.
That is good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, and it is the last segment of the show, and we're getting ready to wrap things up and put it in the oven. Before we do, we'll let you know what's on tap for today. And when we leave here, gentlemen, and if you miss any part of the show, by the way, go to hornfm.com. Not only can you watch all the shows at hornfm.com, just tapping into the Twitch stream there, but also you can listen to any of the shows you might have missed. Just go to the podcast page, and just like pressing rewind, you can hear all of the shows. When I leave here, gentlemen, just as when I walked in, for the first time in a year, I didn't put my mask on when I walked in here.
Wow.
I went maskless from the parking lot all the way here.
Wow, like Joe Jackson, the Yankee great? I went maskless Joe?
I went maskless Joe, man. I read the CDC report that said fully vaccinated Americans can return to life without masks, and I was like, I'm going to do it.
Good for you.
It's liberating.
Wow.
And I'm going to do it on the way back to the car.
Even
no mask.
Even in the building?
In the building. I'm going no mask, man.
Oh.
CDC. I'm fully vaccinated.
Good for you.
The CDC
good for
has
you,
said
Rod.
That I'm good.
I'm proud of you.
CDC
I was a little worried
good.
About you.
What about the office building rules?
The CDC's rules, they actually are, you know, they're more superior, I should say.
No way. We don't
they
pay
supersede.
Rent. We don't pay rent do. To the CDC.
They supersede the office building rules.
Yeah, speak for yourself, man.
Sorry, man. Now, if I go into like an HEB or something and they still have the mask policy, I'll wear a mask. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
It's like a courtesy thing.
Right.
But walking in here just to go to work when I walk through the stairs the whole damn time, no.
Right.
Not wearing a mask.
Y'all good realize masks are done, right?
They're done.
Like, people who aren't vaccinated are going to claim that they're vaccinated.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know that.
Like, there will still be some people who wear masks, don't get me wrong. And like, airlines, I assume, are still going to require masks for everybody.
Yeah.
So you can't completely throw them away. But in terms of, walking around, a lot of people are going to claim vaccine so they don't have to wear a mask. And we're not going to be able to know. Like, how are you going to be able to tell?
Let me see your vaccination card, man.
Oh, it's at home.
There is one spot that I found in the last 14 months, though, that I really like having a mask. Yes, anytime I'm not even going to get
it. Don't even do it. I don't know. Don't do it. Don't get fired with 5 minutes left.
Swipe left or swipe right. It's at a – what sporting event was it? It doesn't matter. But any men's bathroom, public bathroom –
oh, yeah.
I've realized, I'm like, whoa, including this one up here, which doesn't
especially
have great, especially, yeah, you're right, not included, especially this one up here. I'm thinking, oh, I love this thing. Like, so even in 3 years, if we don't have a mask, I may have one just for men's bathrooms.
For public restrooms. You know what?
They just smell worse the older you get.
I'm glad you're keeping that because you remember people in the airports prior to COVID and stuff. There were some people who would wear masks in airports and stuff. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like around? I guarantee some people are going to keep that up now because it's just dirty places like public restrooms.
Right.
Seen as like just germ factories like airports and stuff. Some people will probably still wear a mask.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm going to still wipe. I will keep wiping stuff down though. I like that habit. Of wiping things down before I sit and do. I'm not going to wear.
There are some habits we should keep. Speaking of men's bathrooms, washing your hands.
Washing your hands more. Keep the habit.
With soap.
Let's keep the habit.
I can't believe it took a pandemic for people to start doing that.
I know, but it did.
It did.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
It's so gross.
You're a big Lil Boozy fan, Rod B?
I've heard the name Lil Boozy. Why do I know that name?
Lil Boozy.
He's got a song called Wipe Me Down, so I figured that was...
it is.
It's a joke that maybe five people got out there.
Isn't there a Mask Off song, too?
Yes, Future.
Mask Off. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the new song now.
Yeah. Well, he predicted the pandemic years before it happened. Damn Future. That's why his name's Future.
That's why his name's Future. Well done, BK. Way to end on a good dad joke. That's a quality dad joke you just made there.
BK, what's on tap for you the rest of the weekend?
A beautiful drive up Interstate 35.
Okay.
And I'm going to Dallas right after the show. Got a wedding this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Oh, high school buddy. A Sooner marrying a Longhorn.
Ooh, house divided.
So he's got good judgment. I question
her. Good taste.
So.
Yeah.
But I'll be up in Dallas. I'll be off tomorrow. I appreciate you guys holding it down.
Of course.
But should be fun, man. I'm wearing a tuxedo, too. It's a very formal wedding.
Are you in the wedding?
Not in the wedding.
You're not in the wedding, but you're wearing a tux.
Wearing a tux.
Dang.
Hold on, what?
I know.
That's crazy.
Why are you wearing a tux? Were you asked to?
It said formal. It said black tie.
Wow.
So I don't know. Like, I texted. I think it's a pretty small wedding.
Are they the Gatsbys? Like, who are these people?
Yes. Actually, that is their last name.
And this must be her side, right?
I don't know.
Being the Texas
person. That's fantastic.
I think it's a pretty small wedding.
Okay.
I don't know how many people are non-groomsmen that are going to the wedding. So I texted one buddy who I know who is not in the wedding, and he's like, I'm wearing a tux. So I know I won't be alone wearing a tux, but everybody else could be wearing suits.
Small weddings can be good and bad. Good because you're automatically like fixed up with a blind date usually. Yeah. It's like a small wedding.
Less women.
That's what's
going to
hang out. But it's less of a talent pool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I prefer those who can see.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Hey, I don't know if you'll get lucky at this wedding or not, but you'll look good.
Thank you.
So the super glue that you were using earlier, was that for the tux?
Cufflink.
Okay.
Yeah. What the hell was going on? Did I miss
it? I botched
super glue.
I botched it too.
Wow.
I know.
I hate I missed that.
All right. Here's one thing. We have to get a pick for hornfm.com.
When you're suited and booted, we got to get that.
We got to get that. All right, BK, you have a great time.
Be safe on the road, brother.
Be safe on the road. And BK will be back on Monday. That'll do it for us. We do have, guess what's up next? Flex. Shout out. For Rod, I'm Gavin. Bitch out!